Okay, this coming Shabbos, we're going to have the opportunity to read Parshas Noach, and we're going to begin by noting, Eila told us Noach is tzaddik. Noach was identified as a man who was a tzaddik, tamim b'dorosav, and the phrase b'dorosav in his generation has given rise to a lot of commentary. Rashi quotes a dispute among Chazal as to the nature of the phrase, Yesh darshan moso l'shvach. Some people say it's an accolade meant to praise Noach, v'yesh darshan l'gnai. Some see it as a deficiency, considering Noach to be a tzaddik only in his generation. Some people say, no, around Avraham Avinu, he also would have been a tzaddik. So the question becomes, why are we not going to leave well enough alone? Why do we search for a way to paint Noach's tzidkus, his impeccable character, in a deficient manner? So the author from Nevadik Zatzal explains that both perspectives on Noach that are advanced by Chazal actually depict Noach as a tzaddik. The dispute between Yesh Darshan L'Shvach and Yesh Darshan L'Gnai is not concerning Noach's level of tzidkus, but rather concerning what motivated the tzidkus. Some, Yesh Darshan Oso, some say that Noach wanted to grow spiritually, to grow closer to Hashem, and he was a self-motivated individual because he understood the importance of a life of Kedusha and purity, a life of spiritual value in which morality is not one based on human subjectivity. The other position uses the concept of Gnai. The other position sees Noach choosing a life of tzidkus because he was morally outraged by the behavior of the people in whose generation he was living in. And so when he saw how the members of the generation were morally corrupt, he knew that he had to distance himself from them. And so Noach is tzaddik, yesh darshim oso l'shvach. Some people say that oso, the tzidkus, is a shvach. He wanted a life of purity. Others say yesh darshim oso the shvach, the tzidkus lignai. In other words, he was a tzaddik because of the negative world around him. And thus both positions taken by Chazal, according to the altar from Nevadik, applaud Noach as a tzaddik. The only difference was, is it tzidkus that comes from positive growth, or is it tzidkus that comes as a reaction to society's revolting behavior? Then we're told that there was a mabul, and the rain started. And on that day, Bayom Hazeh, Bon Noach, Ve'eshes Noach, Ve'eshto, U'banav, Neshei Banav, Ito Alateva, Mipnei Meha Mabul, that the waters of the mabul caused them to go into the mabul. And Rashi explains, Ach Noach, Mikatnei Amonahaya, that Noach was among what is translated commonly as the weak of faith. Now, how could one referred to in the Torah as a tzaddik be one who possessed a weakness of faith? It just doesn't make sense. Rav Rabinovich of Male Adumim, Shalita, suggests that there are two types of emuna. There's a factual emuna and a practical emuna. The former, factual emuna, doesn't require the person to do anything as a result of his faith. The latter requires the person to act. And when Noah heard that there was going to be a mabul that was going to destroy the world, he believed it. But he also believed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could change mankind as we know it through the process of tshuva. And until the final moment, Noah had hoped that the flood would not signal the doom of mankind, but rather the doom of the evil way of mankind. And that was Rashi's intent over here. It's not a negative statement about Noah, but rather of his generation. Rav Rabinovich adds that we also have a requirement to believe in ourselves and practically act on that emuna if we're going to achieve greater success than we have achieved in our experiences of the past. Noach, mikatnei amonahaya. Noach came from those who were of weak faith. We can grow, and we can also recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do anything, and we can as well. On this day, all the wells of Tehom opened, and the windows of Shemayim opened as well. And the Tanaim note that there is while the Torah identifies Chameshes Re'amos Gavru Hamayim, that the water surrounded the world 15 amos above sea level, the Tanaim note that there isn't that much water in the entire world. And so therefore the additional water had to have come from the waters on the top of the Rakia. We know that there's water above the Rakia and there's water underneath. And that's what's meant when the Pasuk says, Varubos HaShamayim Niftachu. This water combined with the water of the lower level and it created this fullness of water. Now, the Yerushalmi tells us that while the flood was everywhere, it wasn't in Eretz Israel. And Rav Shechter Shlita noted that this is why Terach sought out to go to Eretz Canaan. He saw that there was something special about the place that was Eretz Canaan, and he wanted to be there, because he knew that that is a place that has no Mabul. And this is not what the Chazal mean to tell us when they tell us Eretz Yisrael Gavoh Mikol HaAretzos, that the land of Israel is higher than all the other situations, because the fact is Israel is not the highest place in the world. That refers to the singling out of the land, which has ramifications to the International Dateline and others, at least according to the Baal HaMor. Gavoh Mikol HaAretzos means that there's something unique and special about the land of Israel. And what the Torah wants us to understand is that it is higher spiritually, even when there is no Jewish presence there. We're told that as Noah was floating around the world, he opened up the window. First he sent out an Orev, then he sends out a Yonah. That the dove comes to Yonah at nighttime, and it had an olive leaf in its mouth. So Yonah and Ibishitz at Sal explains that the dove brought a branch and not the fruit, because the animals of a tzaddik don't even eat non-kosher, and the dove didn't want to take an olive, lest mice are not having been taken of it. Of course, the question has to be asked, everyone had died. And if that's the case, if there was any fruit to be found, it should have been hefker. And thus, it should have been exempt from Eiser. So what was Rav Yonah and Ibishitz worried about? So Rav Chaim Kanievsky Shalita notes that it's possible that the fruit came from the stock of Og Melech HaBashan, or according to the Yishami, maybe even Sichon Melech HaAmori, both of whom lived. And this would have necessitated would have necessitated the separation of Meiser according to the position that a non-Jew doesn't acquire the land of Israel to the point that he exempts the fruit from Meiser, what we call Ein Kenyan Lenachri Be'eretz Yisrael Afkia Midei Meiser. And so therefore the dove was machmer, the dove was very concerned, and so therefore that's what we do. So Noach gets commanded, Tzeimin ha-teva, atavish, techov, anecho, nesheva, anecha, itach, you and your wife and your sons and your daughters-in-law, they're all supposed to go out with you. And Noach does not leave that way. Noach goes out with his sons, his wife, and his daughters-in-law. And the Yalkut Shimoni points out that Noach sinned, according to one opinion, by not following the command of Hashem. And the punishment for his sin was to be embarrassed with the episode with his drunkenness. And the second opinion, in the very same Medrash, notes that, no, Noach added Kedusha, and he was rewarded for going out and not following the word of Hashem, and that reward was he achieved direct communication from Hashem. So how does one explain such opposing sets of theories? So Rav Chaim David Altusky, the author of the Kedusha Basra, he suggests that the first opinion was, as Rashi explains, pointing out that Hashem was encouraging the end of the separation of man and wife. And that was the norm in the Teva. Men and women were separate. There was no heter for Pur Ravu. And Noach was now being told that Pur Ravu was mutter, and perhaps obligatory. But he didn't follow through. And so therefore, he lost out on the chance for additional Pur Ravu. The opposite side argues that he just chose to remain strict in the separation until God specifically told him, V'yatem Pur Ravu. And God rewarded him. And Rabbi Altusky added that Hashem can recognize dual intentions in the action and reward some of them while punishing others. He is bochin klayos v'leif. Noach ignored the word of Hashem in an attempt to eke out a guarantee that Hashem would not destroy the world that Noach was supposed to populate. For that, he was punished. But at the same time, he was able to utilize the chance to remain a kadosh. And for that intent, he was rewarded. The person performing any actions needs to remember that HaKadosh Baruch Hu also sees the intentions behind the actions, and he counts the intentions as well. And then Noach gets involved with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he tells, God tells him about some of the mitzvos, of the Sheva mitzvos, and he tells him, Ki, Shofech dam ha-adam ba-adam damo yishofech. That a man who goes ahead and kills will be killed. Ki b'tzelem Elokim asas Adam, because man was created in the image of Hashem. So, in essence, it sounds almost as if God is giving the reason not to murder because of the tzelem Elokim. That seems weird. Just, what if a person is determined not to really possess a tzelem Elokim? Would the murder be mutter? And what about the Gemara in Sanhedrin on Daf Nun Zayin Amud Beis, which tells us that this includes Ubrim. It includes the prohibition against abortion. How does one make sense out of that? Especially where the strictness over here makes this stronger as punishment is concerned for a Ben Noach than for a Jew. Whereas by a Jew, at least according to the Gemara in Erchanan, Daf Zayin Amud Aleph, we don't see the Jew as a nefesh as yet. Now, if the child is a nefesh for a Ben Noach, why is it not considered so for the Jew? So Rabbi Bezalel Rudinsky quoted Rav Tzadok, who suggested that Tzelem Elokim refers to the potential for creating life. And in that one, when one chooses to do the opposite of creating life, in other words, taking away life or murder, so then he ruins his whole purpose in the world. Man's purpose in the world is to create, not to destroy. And when man chooses not to create life and goes to the opposite pole, that's a pretty serious destruction of his own responsibility. Rabbi Tzal Rudinsky added that included in this idea is a twofold problem when one kills. The first is that when you kill, you've done an action of killing. The second one is that the person who is the murderer isn't fulfilling his own purpose on earth, to be a creator and not to be a destroyer. And this second idea applies even when one aborts a fetus. For even if it lacks a nefesh, the one who takes away the potential for creation is reversing the course that Hashem set for him as a creator and not as a destroyer. We also read about the potential of the Migdal Bavel, the Dor HaFlaga. And there they went ahead and they stated, Hava Nobana Levenim V'Nisrafa Lasrafa. First, well, let us make bricks, and we'll turn it into a tower, and the tower would be Berosho Bashamayim. Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld was once asked by the Emperor Franz Josef, why is it that when the world gets to make more and more scientific discovery, it begins to believe in Hashem less and less? And Rabbi Yosef Chaim answered using this pasuk and the episode of the Dor HaFlaga. He said, you see, normally when one goes ahead and builds, you first need to develop the plan to develop the whole building. And then you go ahead and you figure out how you're going to purchase the bricks. The people came here to Dor HaFlaga. When they came onto this idea of building, they said, okay, so we'll build with rocks. They didn't have the right rocks in the valley that they were going to build, so they had to solve their lack and by getting technologically advanced for their time and inventing a concept we call bricks. Once they figured out that they could also make bricks, they decided they were creative, just like God is creative. And so therefore they decided they don't need God. They can be God. And that's what happens in our generation as well, says Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld. Sometimes the more technologically advanced we get, we turn around and say, we are it. We are what it's all about. And that is a dangerous state of affairs. Finally, in the Haftorah, we also note that the Haftorah gets read because Ki Mei Noach Zosli. And the question has to be asked, why is the Mabul referred to as the waters of Noach? And as our Kaddish explains, that when one has the chance to pray for his world and doesn't, then the punishment is referred to as his punishment. The difficulty over here is that Noach tried very hard. Anything that survived did so because Noach made it survive. And so why does he get saddled with the negativity of the Mabul? And moreover, even Avraham Avinu stopped seeking assistance from Hashem as far as Sodom and Amor was concerned, once it was clear that he wasn't going to be able to find 10 people worthy. He didn't plead for fewer people, but we don't say the Hashchasa Sodom al Shem Avraham. Why? So Chaim Shmuel Levis explains that like with Eov in Egypt, who was punished for not speaking up to care for the Jew when the Jewish nation was there in pain, the same thing applies here as well. Eov was punished with Yisurin, says Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, because he was silent. He had to learn that he was going to need to cry out, even when the cries would make no difference. Because, says Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, when there's a need facing people, there's no time for calculations. You can't be silent. You have to cry out. And Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel Zatzal, the late Rosh Hashiva of Yeshiva Smir, he added that this is the intent of the Gemara in Brachas Andaf Yud Beis Amud Beis. The one who has the ability to seek Rachamim, and he doesn't seek Rachamim, he is a Chote. And if that person is a Chacham, then it's even worse. And that's because one needs to feel sick about injustice, and he needs to make a difference about injustice, even when he's feeling the pain. HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs to give us the ability to understand that we all have responsibility in the world. And when we see an injustice in the world, we have to say it's wrong. Even if nobody cares and nobody wants to listen to us, for ourselves, we have to be able to do so. And in that merit, we will be able to achieve a Shabbat Shalom, not only for you and me, but for all.
as well.